honesty, just putting common sense, complete common sense. And I implore you, when you read your Bible, and I hope and pray that you read it every single day, I cannot stress to you enough the importance of reading your Bible every single day. Not letting a day go by, don't let the sun set before you put your eyes on the Word of God in some way. I cannot stress that enough, how important that is in the Christian life. Common sense, when you pray before you read, and I think you ought to, even if it's just a couple of seconds, just say, Lord, please, let me show this in the right spirit. Let me see this in the right spirit. Let me be able to discern the way you'd have me to discern this. Because understand, you can't read this and have it come out wrong if the Lord's with you. If you don't care about what the Lord has to say, you may misinterpret what this is trying to say. You may take something out of context. You may not see it right. But if you ask the Lord to bless you and you ask the Holy Spirit to move through you while you're reading, He will. If you're interested, here's what I'm trying to get across. If you're interested in what God has to say, He's interested in telling it to you correctly. You got to understand something. God's not interested in you having the wrong idea about Him. Amen? Amen. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, this is going to be a review for a little bit. If you look in Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. But yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, the whole thought process is, and I'm going to read this to you before I go any further. In the Scofield Bible, you have Scofield. Understand this. I cannot express this to you enough. Be very careful where you get your information. The reason that I say this is, I'm currently taking a class. Believe it or not, I'm taking a class. I'm trying to get an earned bachelor's degree from Landmark Bible College down in Florida. So I'm currently taking a correspondence course, and the fellow that's teaching this course right now, he made a very, very interesting statement to me, and the more I mulled this over, boy, it is true. You must be very careful where you get your information, and I tell you why. You start to read these books written by men, and you start to read these lexicons, Greek, Hebrew, Strong, whatever, and they start to become the authority. These documentaries that you read, I don't care how important or how impressive or how many abbreviations the man has behind his name. Don't ever let the man become the authority. Don't ever let the Greek lexicon become the authority. Don't ever let the Hebrew become the authority. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm going to introduce a Hebrew word to you today, but understand this. I don't allow the Hebrew to become the authority over the Bible. The Bible is the authority. I love Dr. Al Lacey. We're going to meet a very smart man. Dean Miller is going to come to this church. But understand this. As wonderful and as smart and as astute as they are, they're not the authority. And a lot of guys take offense to that when I say that to them. But they're not the authority. My authority is the Bible. My authority is the Word of God. So when you read the footnotes in your Bible, if you have a Scofield, an old Scofield, new Scofield's garbage almost all the way through, but the old Scofield has some parts in it that just are not right. The minute that you make Scofield the authority, you're saying, well, you know what, he's smarter than the Bible is. You look up a word in the Greek, and I hear preachers do it all the time. I'm not against research. Not against that. But what you got to understand is, who says that the Strong's Concordance is the final authority? Who says that the Strong's Concordance or the dictionary is the final authority? If you look through the Scripture defines its own words. If you look and you study hard enough, keep studying your Bible. It'll explain. Do you think God wants you to be an idiot? Think about this for a minute. God doesn't want you to be stupid. God wants you to be very smart in Him. He doesn't need a lot of help to get that done, Christian. You're smart already. Get in the Bible and get that intelligence from Him. Where does wisdom begin? Where does knowledge begin? The fear of the Lord. So, God, I fear to go outside of your word to find my information. I don't need to have, listen, okay, so the Hebrew backs up your argument, Brother Rod. Well, we'll use it then. Because the Hebrew defines the argument you wish to make, then we'll use the Hebrew. What if it doesn't fit your argument? You're going to work something until it does? How about we just stick to the word of God, amen? Just a thought. That's a coupon for you. Praise the Lord. And there are good men out there, believe me. I'm reading a book right now by Sam Gipp, Understandable History of the Bible, of the Word of God, Understandable History of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, everything I've read so far seems real good. But understand this, as good as it is, Sam Gipp's not the final authority. If I write a book someday, Brother Dave's not the final authority. I'm not even a second authority. God's word is the only, the final and the only authority we have. You get outside of here, you try to make something up, you got real problems. Now, look at what it says. If you look at, this is what Schofield says. Some hold that, this is on page one. If you have page one, great. If you're not, then I'll just read it to you. Some hold that these sons of God were the angels that kept not their first estate. I am one of those that some hold. I hold that, okay? The angels that kept not their first estate, that's in Jude 6. It is asserted that the title is in the Old Testament used exclusively of angels, but this is an error. And they go to Isaiah 43:6, and we did that last week. Angels are spoken of in a sexless way. That's because they're all men. No female angels are mentioned in the Scripture, and we are expressly told that marriage is unknown among the angels because they're all men. The uniform Hebrew and Christian interpretation has been that verse 2 marks the breaking down of the separation between the godly line of Seth and the godless line of Cain, and so the failure of the testimony to Jehovah committed to the line of Seth. For apostasy, there is no remedy but judgment. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, is given 120 years, but he won no convert, and the judgment predicted by his great-grandfather fell. Now, let's read this scripture. We read what he has to say. Now let's read scripture again, because I don't see what he's saying. What I see here is a very interesting progression of events. And I know this is review, and we'll get into page 2 in a minute. But this is a very interesting progression of events, even if you went no further than what this says and you apply common sense thinking to what these scriptures say, you will not come to this determination. Look at what this says. If you look at verse 2, the Bible says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now I've got to ask you a question. Let's apply common sense to this. The sons of God, let's say it's the godly line of Seth, saw the daughters of men, and obviously only the godly sons mattered, because they don't talk anywhere here about the daughters of God. If they're talking about saved folks, don't you think somewhere along the line some ladies got saved? It doesn't make any sense that we just specifically stay on the men here, but let's just for instance say that. Now we're saying that the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and then verse 5 comes along. Wait a minute. Godly sons of Seth came into the daughters of men, and then verse 5 comes along. Wait a minute. So you've got saved people, righteous people, people that God has saved, and they have wives and they have children, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth? Somebody help me. Listen, I'm not saying that every child we have is good, but some are. I'm not saying that every person in this room is good, but some are. I think it's a stretch to say that every single child of every single Christian is godly. Woo-hoo. Yeah, I'll show you scripture after scripture that shows the son always, or the son eventually, you know, did bad, and the dad was good. But then I can show you a lot of them that the dad was bad and the kid was good. So I believe it's a real stretch to say if these were saved men into the daughters of men, these saved men and daughters of men proved, they produced zero good people. Zero saved people. Because look what it says here. Look at what the Word of God says. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's no way you'll convince me that if we take this group of people in this room and you make babies, that every single one of you are going to end up turning out a kid whose thoughts are only evil continually. Do you know what that's saying there? Do you realize what that's, the statement that that's making? That the thoughts were always only evil? And it was always continually? That's a statement. I'm going to tell you right now, what scares me is that later on in the scripture, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're going to get to the position where the thoughts of man in his heart are only evil continually? Thank God for the rapture, amen. Now, if you just apply common sense, I got to believe that's not what that's talking about. It doesn't make any sense. So, really, let's ask this a question. If this were to be true, why doesn't the Bible say that they were saved people? The sons of God, daughters of men, why in the world isn't there any daughters of God with sons of men? Were the only saved people on the planet men? I'm fairly certain that wouldn't be true. Another more important question, if these men were so godly, and this is another thing that staggers me, if these men were so godly, if this was the godly line of Seth that marked the breakdown and they split and here it is, and this is why we got the giants. It still doesn't explain why we got the giants, but here it is, the sons of God, daughters of men, all these people got together. And if these sons were so godly, how come not one of them got on the boat? How many people got on the boat? 8. And we know who they were. So to be real honest with you, if there were other saved people, where would they have been when the flood came? Huh? They would have been on the boat. But only Noah and his family. That was it. Only ones that got on the boat. So that really kind of dashes the whole theory, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that the end of it right there? Because there were no godly sons of Seth at this time. How can we even surmise that when only 8 got on the boat? I'm just speaking common sense. I'm just trying to think. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Again, this is all review and I'm moving as quickly as possible. It's been a couple weeks since we did this. If you look at verse 4 and 5 here, it's amazing to me that these are put together. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the godly sons of Seth." Is that what that says? It says, upon the ungodly. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So if you look at this, and by the way, I said this in the first part. This is not a doctrinal issue. I'm not going to split hairs on this kind of stuff. If you want to believe that they're godly sons of Seth, that's fine. When we get to heaven, you'll understand that you're wrong. When the Bible speaks of this, I don't think it leaves a whole lot of gray area. I really don't. I think it explains it very well in itself. I think just a little common sense to this lets you understand. This is a plot. And we'll go into this just a little bit here in a minute. This is a plot of the devil here. This is something that the devil had in mind to do. This was his thought process. He knew that that child would be born. Talks about it in Genesis 3:15, first prophecy of Christ. You must understand the devil knows. If you don't think the devil knows the Word of God, by the way, the devil knows the Word of God. That's why he's got so many perverse Bibles out there, because he's very good at making reasonable facsimiles in his eyes. They're not reasonable in my eyes. In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm not on that boat. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you want to go get you a Holiday Inn room, that's fine. I'll take the mansion, brother. I'll just believe what the Bible says. But you must understand, that's just one of 8 million changes. But understand this. The devil knows the Word of God. The devil knows what he wants to do. And the devil sees what's coming in that future. He knew, he saw it. His main goal there in this part was to go ahead and make sure Christ was never born. Think about it. If Christ is never born, now what? Think about this now. If Christ was never born of a virgin, he knew it was going to be of a virgin. I believe that with all my heart, had to be of a virgin. Oh, if he can corrupt all the women, he didn't know when Christ was going to be born. He had none of that. I don't think he had any of that information. But I'm going to tell you right now, the devil knew what God's plan was. I don't think that was kept from him. The anointed cherub that covereth, he was the guy that was over top of the throne. I imagine he heard the conversations. To me, and I don't believe I'm stretching here, to me, I believe the devil was doing his very, very best to stop mankind altogether. You might say there ain't no way. He got it down to 8. Now, in the second part of this, the second part of the statement, that now we're on page 2, it is asserted that the title sons of God is in the Old Testament exclusively used of angels. But this is an error. And I want to take you to the verse that that Mr. Schofield puts in there. And I'm not in any way trying to tear up Mr. Schofield at all. We're all undone. It's not like none of us have all the ideas correct, I don't believe. I believe that we could all make false statements. I just certainly wouldn't have put this one in print. But if you look at Isaiah chapter 43, in verse 6, this is the one that he cites. He says, sons of God. By the way, this only appears 5 times in the Old Testament. And again, I'll read, this is the statement that Mr. Schofield says. It is asserted that the title sons of God is in the Old Testament exclusively used of angels. But I want you to see the verse he cites. 43:6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Do you see anywhere sons of God? In that verse, and I looked at this, I didn't understand. It doesn't say sons of God. It is together in the Old Testament 5 times, and all 5 times, I'll let you make the decision. Let's look at some of those. Turn to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And I'm going to introduce that Hebrew word to you in a second. But if you look at Job chapter 38, verse 7, let's read all the first 6 verses here to get context. I like getting context. Look at what this says. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? At this point in Job, the Lord is fed up with hearing everybody else talk about him. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine pontificating about your buddy and why he's in the state that he's in and telling him over and over again, Job, it's got to be you that's sinning. Job, it's got to be you that are messed. Job, you're wicked, vile. Job, Job, Job. And then the Lord said, who is this that darkeneth the counsel of by words without knowledge? The Bible says in verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. I'm going to tell you right now, I would literally lose my lunch if God said that to me. Could you imagine God coming down and saying that to you? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. That's pretty impressive speech, don't you think? Now look at verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Did anybody there have that information? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? Verse 7. What's this talking about? What's the context here? He's setting up the foundations of the earth. This is creation in the very earliest points. Amen? Look what it says. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, I got to be honest with you. We've had a great, great teaching from our preacher. People didn't go to heaven until Christ came. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was rose again. Christ went down to paradise, led captivity captive, and took them up to heaven. Until the precious lamb was slain, the people went to paradise. Good, good teaching. That's important. Now, if you look at this verse, is this before or after the New Testament? Is this before or after Christ came? This is before Adam. This is before humans. So who are those sons of God? Got to be angels. Got to be angels. The Hebrew word here, and again, I don't use the Hebrew as the final authority. I believe if you have any brain on your in your head at all, you see that this is not men. The sons of God here is called Ben Ha Elohim. Okay, I don't care nothing about Hebrew. I'm just going to be honest with you. But this is interesting. Ben Ha Elohim means sons of God by creation. Take it for what it's worth. I don't know Hebrew. Just take it for what it's worth. Sons of God by creation, all those angels were created beings. Do you know what you're not? You're not created. You were born. Adam was created. Eve was taken out as a rib. Sons of God by creation only fits one person, Adam. After that, angels. There's only two sets. Okay? Everyone else is a son of God by guess what? Redemption. Through Christ. You're not a son of God just because you're a person. A lot of people, oh, we're all just children of God. No, you're not. You're a child of God by faith in. So really, you can say, well, we're all just children of God. We're not all children of God. You have to be born again to be a children of God. You're born. Now you've got to be born again. Now look at the next one. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Sons of God came to present themselves. What does that say again? The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Again, this is Ben Ha Elohim, but I don't need that. Jesus still hadn't come yet. So nobody could possibly be in heaven. Can't be men. Can't be. So if it can't be men, sons of God, again, by creation, who would it be? It would be angels. That's time number two. It's only mentioned five. Look at time number three. Look at Job chapter 2 and verse 1. I bet you it says the same thing as that just did. Look at verse number one. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Again, couldn't be men. They're not in heaven yet. So it must be angels. It's got to be angels. Okay? Now, look at Genesis chapter 6, 2, and let's see the last two. The last two, Genesis chapter 2, or 6, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 6, and verse 2. Ben Ha Elohim again. And again, I don't think you need the Hebrew to prove this. I think it proves itself very, very easily in the old English Bible that we have. Amen. The Hebrew is not the authority here. Look at the Word of God. And it says in verse 2 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Same sons of God. That's the fourth time that it's used. It's only used one more. And they're all the same. Look at the next one. Look at the last one. It's in this same chapter. Verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. I got another thought for you. How is it? How is it that the children of these people, the children of this coming together, became giants if they're the godly line of Seth? Now wait, some people assert that this means mental giants. Mental giants, that's what they think. Well, they're smart. They're tall in their mind. I think we can blow that right out of the water if we study any time at all about giants in the Bible. They were big folks. It wasn't tall in mind. Goliath didn't impress me with his intelligence.
Are you a dog? Am I a dog?
I don't think that Goliath was necessarily, I'm not saying he was an idiot, but I'm just saying he didn't necessarily impress me with the tallness of his mind. What it impresses me with was how tall he was. Because the Bible makes sure it tells you. Now, again, we're spending some time here, but you must understand something. If you put common sense to the fire here and just ask common sense, what does this mean? It certainly does not mean men. It just makes no sense. Now, there are two different types of sons of God. I just said this a second ago. The first one is the one we have discussed, son of God by creation. Adam was one. The angels were others. All other sons of God were born and then redeemed. There are songs of God by redemption, or sons of God by redemption as well. The only son of God that is different from all of those is Jesus Christ, the only begotten son of God. He's in a class all alone. All alone. He was never created. He always was. You got to understand something. Jesus Christ ascends all of those. He is the Redeemer, not the redeemed. He is not by creation, he's the Creator. See, Jesus Christ is completely different, yet the only begotten Son of God. You try to figure that out, just give yourself a headache. Don't worry about it, he is. And at the same time, he is all the other things. Jesus Christ is certainly in a category all by himself. Now, if you look at another interesting part of this passage, is the words, and also after that. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. What does "and also after that" mean? It's not just in there for fun. See, I believe the devil had a very, very specific goal when he sent these angels to do the things that they did. I really believe this was a plot by him to get rid of the ability for Christ to be born. Okay? That he's done three things, and this is my opinion. You can take this for what it's worth. I believe the devil has had three plans. Okay? The one is the greatest one ever. This is not the one. The greatest plan he ever did was "Yea, hath God said." He's been working that plan ever since. He still does it to this day. He desperately doesn't want you to have the Word of God in your hand. He wants you to have something else. To do that, he makes you doubt what you have. That's all he wants to do is make you doubt. That's all he wants you to do is make you think twice. That's all he wants you to do is make you not believe wholeheartedly that it is the Word of God. I've said this over and over again, but I believe this with all my heart. You've got to believe in your Word of God the same, with the same assurance and faith that you believe in your salvation. What? What? Where'd you get your salvation information from? Come on, folks. You got to understand something. If you take away the Word of God, you take away all knowledge of Jesus Christ. You don't even know his name. Take away the Word of God, you don't even know who Christ is. We talk about it all the time. Well, Brother Dave, why do you hash so much on the King James Bible? Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord talked about his Word a million times in the Scripture. I would imagine that he wants us to do the same. So when you start to take, I don't care if it's one iota, you start to take anything away from the Word of God in my eyes, you are wrong. You remove a period out of that Bible, you're not good with me. Because unless I have it all, I don't have it at all. And you must understand something. Well, Brother Dave, I've heard that people say that there's certainly enough truth in the NIV to get somebody saved. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. The Lord's just going to go ahead and link up hands with the devil's book to get somebody saved. That makes a lot of sense. Come on, put common sense to your thinking, folks. Jesus does the saving, not you. I told him my testimony and got him saved. No, you didn't. Not according to the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the testimony of Brother Dave. Oh, I'm not against telling people the testimony. Believe me, I'm not. I'm not against telling people how the Lord saved you. I'm not against telling people how the Lord's changed your life. I'm not against any of that. But when it comes down to brass tacks, folks, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, ought to be somewhere in your conversation. What if I don't have my Bible? Shame on you. But the Bible does make concession for that. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word, not somebody else's word. And by the way, I've got a message I'm working up right now. Even Jesus Christ had to say only what his Father wanted him to say. Come on, that's scripture, brother. See, I don't think we are allowed to just go out and do whatever we want to do. God has a walk and a way that he wants us to be in, and our work is his work, his way, his walk. And who are we? Well, I got a new way to save somebody. No, you don't. It's been the same way all throughout history. It's going to continue to be the same way. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no, where else are you going to get faith from? Help me. Be very, very careful. See, to me, people say, by the way, man shall not live by bread alone. But by how many? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I thank God he gave us every word. If he didn't, he's a liar. Two greatest scriptures in the world. God cannot change. God cannot lie. Because if those aren't, listen, you say, well, why are those the two greatest? The greatest scripture is John 3:16. The greatest scripture, no. The greatest scripture is God cannot change and God cannot lie. That's the greatest scriptures in the whole wide world, because then you know you got a God you can count on. Then you know you got a word of God that you can run to and hide in, find refuge in, find rock in, find your foundation. If you don't have that, what do you have? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm excited about the fact that God has given us a pure and perfect word. And I hope and pray that you never get bored with me preaching on this, because I believe in these days it is the most important subject that we could preach on. You go back 50 years, this wasn't really a battle. Everybody was rejecting the stupidity that people were bringing forward. Do you know, even the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Gray sent me a letter the other day, the Southern Baptist Convention put out a letter. I don't care anything about conventions. In fact, I get sick and tired. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight in the message that I have. The message of tonight is entitled Watch. And I hope and pray that you come back. I really do. I very seldom give myself plugs, but I'm telling you, I hope you come back tonight. I believe it's one of the most important things that we can talk about in this day and age. Watch. Jesus says, and to all of you I say, watch. It's amazing that he says that. And then what he says before, the parable that he gives before, it's amazing to me what he tries to tell us. But anyways, I want to tell you with all my heart, the devil is very, very good at doing one thing, and that's getting you to doubt what God hath said. And I don't care if I mention it in every single message that I preach. If we are unwilling to stand for the word of God, what are we going to do in these days when we're over 200 different perversions? I believe that that's been the final count. I can't prove that. You go 3-4 years ago, it was 124. I know that. I believe it's over 200 different types. And the Southern Baptist Convention put out a letter that said, we fully admit and agree that there is not one single version out there that is the pure word of God. All. I need to get the letter out and give it to you. All may be used. All may be looked through and gained nuggets from God out of. All are worthy of acceptation. I was throwing up on my computer's keyboard. Amen. You got to understand something. People all over the country right now are headed in that direction. Well, as long as we bring something that says Bible on the outside of it, we're all right. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona. Another interesting part of this is also after that, reading this makes one wonder what the scripture is trying to tell us. What was going on at that time? It says there were giants in the earth in those days. It would seem to me that it simply means that there were giants in the earth before the flood, and there were giants in the earth after the flood. How in the world did the godly line of Seth continue if they were all buried in the mud? Look also at how the Bible states this next part. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Well, let's look at some of those also after that verses in the scripture. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. I'm almost done. Did a buzzer go off yet? Genesis chapter 14. Another fancy Hebrew word is Nephilims. Nephilims stands for fallen ones. What do you think the term giants is in Hebrew? Just a thought. Genesis chapter 14, verse 5, the Bible says, and in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims and Ashtaroth, Kurnaim, and the Zuzims and Ham, and the Emims and Shaveh Kiriathim. I came close. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2. Remember that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And I know that you can think even in your head of a giant that was after the flood. I mean, that takes 2 seconds. Everybody knows that story. But if you look at Genesis chapter 2, remember we said Emims in that last one? Chapter 2 and verse 10, the Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. Well, I don't think that giant means tall in your mind. I don't think that means intellectual giants. I think that means they're big folks. Tall, big people. And if you look at 20 and 21 of this same chapter, that also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt there in an old time, and the Ammonites call them Zamzamims. That's a neat name. A people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. The Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. Now, I want you to remember, and I'm all done this morning, but I want you to remember something. I want you to recall when the spies were sent over into the promised land. I want you to recall this now. I believe that you can remember what happened. They go over into the promised land. There was 12 that was sent, in the famous words of Brother Lester Roloff, that was 10 too many. 2 came back with a good report, 10 came back with a bad. The 10 folks said what? There are giants in the land. And we are as grasshoppers in their sight. Now listen, I don't know how big they were. And maybe they exaggerated just a little. I don't know. See, here's the thing. You don't know. Maybe we were as grasshoppers in our sight. That doesn't mean that they were actually as grasshoppers, okay? But I will tell you this. These are big, big men that frightened the death out of those 10 that were chicken to go over there. Now, if you remember, Caleb and Joshua were the two that came back and said, no, let's go eat them up as hot biscuits. That's another list to roll off. Okay? Now, understand this. Caleb, they don't go in. By the way, the children of God disobey. They don't go in. And what happens? They wander for 40 years in the wilderness because of those same giants. It's amazing to me that there were giants in the land. And it's amazing to me, and also after that, and I'll show you why also after that, by the way. First of all, angels cannot die. That's the very, very most important thing. But their children can. The Bible says, you shall die like men. Now, and I'll show you that next week. But understand this. They didn't go over. It's amazing to me that later on, Caleb wanted to go. And we'll get into this probably. I don't know if we'll get into this or not. Caleb finally does go. After they finally, 40 years in the wilderness, let's go take them. They go over. Caleb whips giants with the Lord's help all by his lonesome. Understand this. These giants that are in the scripture, God wanted them out of his land. God wanted to rid the land of them. God wanted to get rid of these fallen ones. God wanted to get rid of them because that's the offspring of the devil's crowd. And let me explain something to you. God still doesn't want you hanging around the devil's crowd. God still wants, now I'm not talking about rid the land, let's go shoot them all and throw them in a heap. No, he wants you to get them saved so they become good people. He wants you to get them saved so they become saved people and can start working for him. Why is this such a crazy notion? It's so simple. The devil had a plan. He had a little plot. And that plot, and it's crazy that we even talk about this, because to be real honest with you, to me, it's real easy to understand if you just read the one. You don't even need to read the rest. But it's amazing how quickly we can get off track as Christians and get into the thought process of, well, this man seems awfully smart. Maybe he's right. Let me tell you something. I'm not intelligent. When it comes to Scripture, I rely on Scripture to teach me. I rely on Scripture to show me. I don't show the Scripture anything. Next week, we'll get into a little bit more. It's even easier. It really is. But we'll get into a little bit more next week. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that it is to speak about this. And Lord, I thank you for making it so clear in the Scripture. I don't believe that you held anything back.